Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show. Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a spectacular day. The Doug Gottlieb Show is broadcasting live and direct from sunny Southern California. Hope you're good. Southern Northeast getting a little snowstorm. Have fun with that. Huh? No. No more suntan lotion. I'm good. No, I understand. It's going to be 80 at the beach this weekend. I got enough suntan. No, I'm good. No more suntan lotion. Yes, I'll take another Mai Tai. Hope you're great. I saw this. We got some Trevor Lawrence stuff. John Middlecoff's going to join us. I've been told some things about one of the draftable first-round draft pick quarterbacks. I got a lot of stuff to get to. I do want to start with this. It's kind of comical. Really comical, in fact, exactly what's going on in the National Football League. So how many of you are aware that the NFL has what we believe is labor peace? We good? We got labor peace? Okay. So what we have is labor peace for the next decade plus. It's an 11-year contract. Or at least that's what we thought. And another team today, or actually two more teams today, apparently are skipping those pesky off-season workouts. OTAs, as they're known. Players from the Steelers and Falcons on Friday became the latest NFL team to say they won't be reporting to their team facilities to begin voluntary off-season workouts. Their announcements made via the NFL Players Association bring the total of 11 teams, which players say they will not be participating in the workouts, which are scheduled to begin Monday league-wide. At that point, daily COVID-19 testing for players and staff will commence, according to the memo sent to teams on March 31st. Players who are currently using the weight room at the team facility or being treated by club medical officials have to be tested at minimum every other day. Teams can test more if they wish, but that is a minimum requirement. All right, so every other day you got to be tested. Quote, we should not be made to compromise our health and safety, the Steelers said in a statement Friday. It makes no sense to risk COVID-19 infection or injury in the spring if we don't have to. The protections we had in place last year are not fully in place now, and they remain unclear. So the Raiders, the Bears, the Browns, the Giants, the Broncos, the Seahawks, the Bucks, the Lions, the Patriots have all made this decision this week. The Raiders, a lot of people have workout bonuses. Derek Carr is going to lose $100,000. Darren Waller is going to lose $250,000. Jalen Richard and Jeff Heath, they'll lose over $100,000. And this is on the Raiders alone. So it's voluntary, but you have a contract that says, hey, in order to collect this bonus, all you have to do is show up and work out. That's it. Nothing else. And this is kind of par for the course with the NFLPA. This is as bad a run union as I've ever seen in my entire life. And you're like, wait, what? How does that have to do with the union? Because they are colluding to withhold services, and they have you believing, they have many of you believing, this is simply voluntary workouts. It's not tied to the job, blah, 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 blah. But the fact is that the more highly paid players, their salaries are tied to roster bonuses you get for simply showing up on voluntary workout days, many cases. So it is contract. You are contractually obligated, and you will cost your players money. And at what ends? Stop with the COVID nonsense, because it's nonsense. It's nonsense. Everybody knows it's nonsense. Here's Andrew Brandt, used to work in the NFL in the front offices earlier today in the Dan Patrick Show.
This is all the union's priority going back, like you said, 11 years from 2010, which really meant for less workouts. But now it looks like they want to get rid of it altogether, at least from the union priority, and make voluntary truly voluntary. I mean, I think it's a noble idea, basically, that, hey, look, we had this great season with COVID. Look what we did and fewer injuries. But we're kind of in a different setting nationally with the virus. So I'm not sure what the point is of the union saying that, hey, we got to do this again because we still got the virus around, when the league is saying we're going to deal with vaccines. We're going to get the virus handled. So we just want this off season to be normal like it usually is.
Yeah. So the COVID thing is BS, and I think everybody knows that, right? Like, the players that are really concerned about COVID, well, one, they opted out. And if you're an opted out player who hasn't worked out with your team in over a year, you better be jonesing to get back in that facility. Because if not, I mean, like, literally haven't played football in over a year. Over a year. You know how hard that is to come back to work? And then you're like, well, you know, I don't need it. Okay. They will, if they think you're not ready, they will cut you. And you're more likely to get hurt. And the lack of reps in practice, great. And there's fewer injuries, awesome. Quality of play, as we all know, suffered, especially early in the year. But the biggest thing is that if this was an issue that the NFLPA wanted to address, why didn't they address it last year when they were negotiating a long-term extension of the CBA? Why not? Because they couldn't get it. They couldn't get what they wanted to work. And oh yeah, by the way, a lot of the players would rather be there. Because the COVID thing is just like everything else. You can say, I'm not going to work out there because I don't feel safe because of COVID. So you're not going to work out? Well, yeah, I'm going to work out. I'm going to go to my local gym and my local trainer. Okay, so you are going to work out only with somebody with fewer protocols and less true health and safety. Good luck with that. This is a dog and pony show, where you're making it a point to, we don't need to work out, it's voluntary. And the truth is that cohesive teams, remember the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who as of right now are not doing the voluntary workouts, this is the same Tampa Bay Buccaneers who got together at a park in Tampa because they had a new quarterback. Now, while they're not going to work out now, you don't think that at some point in the very near future they get together or maybe begin working out? Of course they will. Of course they will. So to me, this is simply the NFLPA trying to wield some sort of control out of the owners, and the owners have to be cackling about it because they already signed a CBA agreement. Already signed it. It's done. There's labor peace. There's nothing you can do. This will end up costing more guys jobs than it will saving their jobs.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
This is the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Doug Gottlieb Show, you're on Fox Sports Radio. Discover matches all the cash back you earn your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover's accepted 99% of the places in the U.S. that take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes2021. News report, limitations apply. This is weird. This is weird. It's a weird quote. Trevor Lawrence and members of the Lawrence family recently conducted an in-depth interview for the cover story of Sports Illustrated. By the way, this is a weird question, and it's not in any way a shot at Sports Illustrated, okay? Because, like most of you, I grew up reading and idolizing everything Sports Illustrated. Does Sports Illustrated still come in the mail? Do people still get that? Right? Do people still get that? Buyer, do you know if people still get Sports Illustrated? Is it still a weekly mail?
I don't think so. I thought they were limiting. I thought it was maybe going to be like twice a month or a monthly, but I do not know. I don't have a subscription. Had it a few times in my life, but do not have one now.
Yeah. I mean, like everybody had it at some point when they were a kid, right? And then like college age or whatever. And especially when you got it. I'll tell you, honestly, the best one was the Sporting News was amazing. And I'll never forget when I first started doing radio, like it would have a blurb on every single team in every single sport. And obviously now that's moved to websites. Even websites now aren't as, I just don't feel like they're as thorough sometimes. Sometimes they are, or you have to go behind paywalls for everyone, which becomes tedious. But yeah, everybody had one, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And good call on the Sporting News. And then if you didn't have Sports Illustrated, maybe you had Sport.
Sport was good. Yeah, Sport had a good cover. Usually a good cover, and that's about it.
Yeah.
Sport.
Sport. So it comes once a month, Gavin?
Yeah, 17 issues a year. They do still have the swimsuit edition,
right? It's the only way they make money is the swimsuit edition. Which, even that, it's like, you can type in a couple words on the old internet machine, and if that's what you're into, you can get even better pictures. My clear.
Don't know what
one?
You're talking about, Doug. No.
Just saying. All right, so he does a. You tell me, buyer, if you want this. Which Trevor Lawrence said, it's hard to explain because I want people to know that I'm passionate about what I do. It's really important to me, but I don't have this huge chip on my shoulder that everyone's out to get me. I'm trying to prove everybody wrong. I just don't have that. I can't manufacture it. I don't want to. What do you make of Trevor Lawrence's comments in SI? You're going to talk about this, I'm sure, this weekend.
Yeah, I actually don't think it's a huge deal. I don't think everybody needs a chip on their shoulder as motivation. They don't need to be slighted. I would say if Trevor Lawrence's accomplishments were because of his strong ethic, work ethic, that's a pretty good work ethic to have. To consider what he's accomplished throughout his young life, a chip on your shoulder or no chip on your shoulder, I'd keep doing what he's doing. I don't think he needs to have this. Tom Brady, 20 years later, still talking about pick 199. I don't think you need that. I'm fine with him saying that.
Well, what about you, Gavin? What do you think?
Yeah, I kind of tend to agree with Dan on that. Like, I think it's a good thing to be able to learn that early on, that it doesn't have to be about, proving the doubters wrong. I also think Trevor Lawrence has never had any doubters.
I don't know. Not I mean, when everybody says he's the number one pick, anytime you have a bad game, like, really? But yeah, you're right. There aren't a lot of. He said, it's not like I need this for my life to be okay. I want to do it because I want to be the best I can be. I want to maximize the potential. Who wouldn't want to? You kind of waste it if you don't. It's an interesting quote. It's the idea behind it is. Is he a guy who wants to do this? Like, this is all that he's about, all that he's about. And I think he's pretty honest. That's such a big thing. He was talking about being married. It's finding who you want to be with, who you want to marry, who you want to spend the rest of your life with. Talks about that. I just don't get the sense. I just don't get the sense that he's somebody who wants to play, football more than anything else in life. And do I think it's a major red flag? No, but there's a little Andrew Luck to it, more than Josh Rosen to it, where we want our football players, our athletes, our franchise guys to have one singular focus, and that's winning said football game on a Sunday. And that may be psychotic to all of you, But the idea of maximizing his potential is like a it's nice, and you want somebody to maximize. But he might actually be a little too balanced. Like in college coaching and NFL coaching, like you have to be a reasonable guy so people can get along with you, but you also have to be a bit of a lunatic, and you have to be able to fire guys who, if they wanted to, they could tear you a new one. Right? And in quarterbacks, you got to be a likable guy that people want to get behind, that people believe in, that people care for, that people want to play. But you also have to have a little bit of serial killer in you. And I don't think he has any serial killer in him. And I don't know if that limits him. I don't know if that limits him. I think part of it is we've been so jaded by so many of these quarterbacks. And I don't even know if jaded is probably too tough a word, or maybe the way that people use jaded is a way of making it seem like it's a negative, right? Like jaded is tired or bored or lack of enthusiasm. Typically having too much of something is really more what it's about. Too much of something. We're jaded by it. We're jaded by these quarterbacks that this is all they do. This is all they're about. And Trevor doesn't appear to be that guy. Can you still maximize that potential if you're not that guy? I don't know. Like, Baker Mayfield's all about all that other little stuff. He's just not as talented as Trevor Lawrence is.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. A lot of things going on in the world of sports. What are we going to watch this weekend? You guys going to watch Padres Dodgers baseball? Are we watching NBA basketball? Like, I would
Ohio
say
Ohio State spring game. You got that?
Yeah. Well, now are they allowing full house? There's 17,000 at the Padres Dodgers game. Are they allowing a full house in Columbus?
I don't think so. I know that there were tickets, and there were tickets that were going on the secondary market for like $40 for a spring game. But I don't think that it's going to be a full house.
Yeah, I would guess that's accurate. I don't know if they're allowed to be a full house. I think that
19,180 is what the capacity or the amount will be capped at.
19,000.
Yep.
I wonder, do they normally? And I honestly, this year is a little different, but do they normally have a full house at Ohio State's spring game?
I don't know if it's you're probably not getting 110, but I do think that there were 70 and 1,000 at previous ones.
Have you ever been to a spring game?
I've been to I've back in when I was working in Madison, went to a Badger Wisconsin spring game. Yeah.
Yeah, I've been to Oklahoma State one, I've been to an Oklahoma one. It's among the boringest things you've ever experienced in your life. It's like, look, you love football. If you go to your school's spring game and you don't have a relative playing on the football field, you are either a psychotic fan of your team or your school, or you have no life and nothing else to do. Those are the only other options.
Yeah, they are not fun. It's
the opposite of fun.
Yeah.
Like, imagine college football where there's no team to root against. There's limited band and cheerleaders, right? There's limited pregame. Like, if you're tailgating for this stuff, like, God bless you. You know, they do situational football. Sometimes they play a game, whatever. But, like, you're literally cheering for guys to play well and not to get hurt. And then you walk away going like, man, we're going to be good this year, bro. We're going to be good. This is the year. Everybody walks away the same thing.
I'll also just add this. For as great as your offense may look, then you're like, man, what's up with our defense?
Right, like, or if the defense looks good, you're like, wow, what's up with the offense? Yep. Defense looks amazing. John Middlecoff, of course, in addition to working in the NFL, worked in college football. Spring football game, your thoughts?
You know, it kind of is closer to a high school kind of jamboree barbecue with the families than it is an event for fans. So, yeah, I'm with you.
Right. Like, if you're like, hey, man, I'm going to go check out Michigan. I'm going to go check them out. They're going to go see Big Blue this year. You'd be like, what, you have nothing else going? Like, literally. Spring, like, we can go do anything. That's what you want to do?
I would understand in some of the towns if it's free, but if you had to pay, that's pretty nuts.
No, no, they had to pay me. And pay me.
Yeah, I get it if you have, you know, a 10-year-old kid or whatever, Ohio State, Michigan, Oklahoma, whatever, but just to go watch, I'm with you. It's pretty nice.
Painful. Painful. John Middlecoff is our guest. Trevor Lawrence is like, I don't have a chip on my shoulder. I just want to maximize my potential. You cool with that?
He's been that way from day one. My issue would be is if things are going well, like he looked like he was all into football when he was at Clemson. Of course he was. They were a powerhouse. They were, you know, between the best, second best, and third best team in the country his entire time. He won a national championship. He's about to go to the Jags. You know, what happens when they win five games next year? Is it still fun for him? What about three straight years of net sniffing the playoffs? What if the Urban Meyer thing doesn't go well? Like, part of it, Andrew Luck talked the same way, right? Well, Andrew got to the league and was good, and they went to the playoffs every year, and he was good. Then he started getting injured, and clearly he got really beat up. And it just got to the point where it's like, you know, I'm out, you know, in his late 20s. Tony Romo had to be, like, basically told, like, bro, you can't play anymore, right? Same with Peyton Manning. I mean, those guys are junkies. And I know people in this profession, Doug, love, like, balance. Like, all the good players are not very balanced. So, yeah, it's 100% concerning.
I'm completely with you. Like, it's great to be a well-rounded, reasonable human being who goes to church on Sunday and is a good husband and is a good father and all those things. But I am paying you potentially hundreds of million dollars to win football games. That's it. I don't actually care about those other things. And
not one iota care at all. And I mean, yeah. People hate to hear it, but it's just the truth. I mean, that's the way the real world works. I also think, like, Julio Jones is outspoken, like, he doesn't watch football and doesn't care. I don't really care. Like, that doesn't bother me. Like,
different when you're a quarterback.
100%. If you, like, Anthony Davis, like, if he's not locked, whatever. As long as he's healthy, it's fine. But with your quarterback, like, the best ones have consistently been, I don't know, football obsessed, right? I mean, that's a pretty big deal.
What's the real skinny on Justin Fields? I've heard that, you know, when he's at Georgia, he was a little entitled.
He was the number two player in the country. I mean, I'd say most of their recruits are.
Okay. Have you heard from NFL people, Ohio State people, have you heard that there's anything in regards to his work ethic that would lead you to be concerned?
I have not. Now, I don't know the Georgia stuff, but I do know that Georgia made the wrong decision. And maybe he was humbled a little bit by having to transfer him, and he ended up at a better program, so I probably not. But from what I've heard, zero concerns on anything.
Do you think that he'll go to the San Francisco 49ers?
I do, and I think he should be the pick, unless you think Trey Lance is more talented people, which some people do. I know, like, Daniel Jeremiah has him above. I saw Riddick say the other day, and I've talked to people in the NFL that said they understand it. But to me, it has to be either Fields or Trey Lance. It cannot be the Mac Jones. Like, to me, you just
– Why?
You can't – because you just can't trade up in this modern-day NFL, but just in general, the mindset of not taking the guy with the highest upside. I mean, that's the point of the draft. In free agency, you're plugging and playing, right? You're signing a guy to be your pass rusher. He's proven he can be a pass rusher. In the draft, and I always get – when people are like, you know, he doesn't quite see it or he missed this pass. The scouting community doesn't care. We're looking at traits and we're looking at if he's coachable, which Ohio State is really singing his praises, and you think you can mold him because there's a lot to work with there, that's the whole point of this thing. Like, that's what the Bills did with Josh Allen. That's what the Chiefs did with Patrick Mahomes. In a lesser extent, I mean, it's a long time ago, but like Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, like part of coaching, part of an organization – take the talent and then create. Now, he has to be, like, his intangibles. If they check all the boxes, you got to go with the guy with the more talent. Like, it's a talent league at quarterback. It's now more than ever. And to me, Mac isn't even in their stratosphere. And Mac Jones is fine. Like, I'd take him in the third round. But, I mean, he's not a top – I don't think he's a first-round talent, you know, 5 years ago. We're in, like, the world of quarterback inflation where every quarterback's getting drafted high now. But in an – over the last couple decades, guys like Justin Fields were always getting drafted high. Guys like Mac Jones used to be drafted in the third round.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. That's the voice of John Middlecoff. Okay, so then let's say he goes three, right? Say he goes three. And I agree with you. Like, part of it is I'm a read the tea leaves, breadcrumbs kind of guy. And when I heard they're holding on to Garoppolo for a year, right, that signals to me you take one of the developmental guys and you do the Pat Mahomes thing, right? That's what it feels like, doesn't it?
I mean, at least I think this year with, you know, all these teams are boycotting the OTAs. Jimmy Garoppolo has a $600,000 workout bonus. They literally pay him $600 to lift weights and play catch. So, I mean, I don't know. If I was Jimmy, I'd show up. But if you don't have on-the-field OTAs with your entire team, it's impossible to know how these quarterbacks are going to look. So maybe at least you wait till training camp to be like, okay, because if you take Justin Fields, I live up here, not a soul is going to want to watch Jimmy Garoppolo. And honestly, if you take Justin Fields, I would play him right away. But I do understand from Kyle's perspective, like, let's just a couple weeks of implementing the offense, see how he looks. We're not in any rush. I mean, we could always trade Jimmy week two of training camp, week three of training camp, whatever. But I really am of the belief Mac Jones, obviously, they take Mac Jones. Like, what's he sitting behind? So, like, I mean, part of it is, like, he's pro-ready. Trey Lance, I would somewhat definitely understand, right? He's a one-year starter, a smaller school. But I think these guys, like, part of the rookie quarterback is, like, the clock starts the moment you sign him in terms of his contract. I want him to get some live reps in games. Now, Jimmy gets hurt a lot, but, you know, that's also risking Jimmy the asset. Like, if you could flip Jimmy right now for a second-round pick, if he gets injured during the season, like, the asset just becomes kind of irrelevant, right? You're going to have to cut him at the end of the year, which yeah. They can because his contract is pretty team-friendly. But I think they just got a lot to weigh, and it's to me, it's hard to kind of operate with the no offseason. Like, at least, you know, Doug, forever, like, rookie minicamp, and then the veterans show up, and they're all kind of together, and you just kind of get a feel. You're like, okay. That happened to Russell Wilson, right? He just kind of came and just kind of willed his way to the starting quarterback job. It's a little difficult with everyone just boycotting and doing virtual meetings.
Why do you think they're trying to use COVID as why they're doing it?
That's complete BS because they played all last year with no vaccine. So give me a break. The NFL teams controlled the environment. They, like any negotiation, and I don't blame them. They saw an out and they're trying to use it. But the safety, health.
But I don't understand. They could have negotiated out of OTAs when they extended the CBA for a decade. They didn't. And now they're trying to use COVID as a loophole for something that they agreed to. Like, that's bad business. That strikes me as bad business.
Well, when I saw within the last week or two, Goodell sent out a memo, and the league does this a lot. When you work in the NFL, you get these league memos that go to, like, all the personnel people. And it was, you're mandatory in tier one or tier two, you got to take the vaccine. Like, it's, if you want to be in those tiers, I think that's because the NFL is like, they're doing all this stuff. Like, oh my God, these players. I mean, last year we didn't have a vaccine. We controlled the environment and there weren't really any issues. And now you guys are using this as an out. But I mean, that's, if I was a player, well, let me run that back. If I was an undrafted free agent, if I was a fifth or sixth or seventh round, here's the problem with these unions, especially one as big as the NFL union, because they have so many players. Who's speaking for the unions? Well, the rich, most powerful players. Who doesn't get any say? All the, like, the backup guys that actually need these practices. I saw Bruce Arians. I thought he had a great quote the other day. He's like, listen, I don't care if Mike Evans or JPP show up, but the OTAs, they matter for younger players. Like, that's how they get developed. That's how they stick on teams. That's how they make their mark heading into training camp. That's how they get their reps. Like, if Tom Brady doesn't want to show up, so be it. I don't care. But to not let these rookies come is doing them a disservice. And I read in The Athletic, 22 players from the Broncos the last 2 months have been using their facility. You know, they live in Denver and they train there. And then all of a sudden the Denver Broncos, like, we boycott OTAs. Like, do the Denver Broncos boycott OTAs, or is Von Miller, like, over it? Right. So who's really speaking for these players? Rodgers, right? He wants no part of OTAs, which I understand. I wouldn't either if I was him. But what about all the other, you know, 30 or 40 guys on the Packers that need those to just have a career? You know, it does matter. And here's the other thing, Doug. I've never played in the NFL, but I've been enough to these practices. The offseason is pretty easy. They're 3-day work weeks. You're lifting anyway, right? You're going to lift at home. Like, Devontae Adams has a $500,000 workout bonus. if I'm Devontae, I go, listen, I'll be a team. I'll be a good employee here. I'll take one for the greater good. But does the union make me whole? Like, does someone pay my $500,000? Or you're recommending I don't show up, but that's a lot of money. Like, you know, we're not talking $10,000. We're talking $500,000. Like, does the union fill that up for me? Or no, it's just like, hey, you're doing this for the greater good. I think there are a lot of players that are probably not on the same page with this.
I think there's no question about it. Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. What's going to be the biggest surprise of night one of the NFL draft?
I think Mac Jones actually could fall a little. You know, I mean, I just wonder if he's truly going to go in the top 10. In no other world, you know, in recent memory, I can't think of a prospect who had his physical gifts that went as high. I mean, you could say Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones is bigger and way more athletic. Jared Goff is
Matt
way
Barkley?
Bigger.
Matt Barkley?
Went in the fourth round.
Matt Barkley went in the fourth round?
Yeah. Well, remember,
yeah, remember he went back to school.
High.
That's right. He should have come out. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, Mac Jones a better college player than Matt Barkley, but still, like, to me, historically, Mac Jones, even the last decade where quarterbacks have been inflated a little bit more than they were the last probably 20, 30 years, still not a day one quarterback. So you can't tell me that a lot of coaches run the personnel department, and as we know, they don't always see eye to eye with GMs because GMs see bigger picture. Coaches kind of live in the now. So maybe a coach-run personnel department takes Mac, but it would not totally shock me if we get like the pick 15 and he's still out there.
Speaking of pick 15, that's the New England Patriots. Do they take a quarterback?
If they do, I think they trade up to get whoever the Niners don't take.
Like Trey
and
Lance?
I think that you saw Ohio State, the pro day. I think that was a pro day slash a business convention. Because if you look at the teams that were there, it was the Niners. I think the Niners were there looking at their guy. I think Belichick comes because he wants to talk to, obviously, Kyle about Jimmy. The Atlanta Falcons were there. Well, they've been thinking about trading their pick. The Denver Broncos were there as well, and they've been, from what I heard, sniffing around on Jimmy. So it was like those type meetings typically would happen at the combine and just are much easier non-corona times. I think they use that pro day. Like, why would Justin Fields need another pro day, right? It was basically like a made-up event.
Well, it's like a private workout / yes, get together. You know, they can't do private workouts, so that's really what it is.
But there was it's not like 30 teams were represented. It was like 5, and they're all kind of connected in this little web.
Okay, give me, okay? Again, not really substantiated, but like there's a working rumor in college basketball that Dan Munson. Okay, Munson was the coach at Gonzaga before Mark Few, right? Took him to the Elite Eight and then went to Minnesota. He's the head coach of Long Beach State. Working rumor that he's going to go join Tommy Lloyd at Arizona. He's got like a year left his deal at Long Beach State. He's made a good amount of money. Low major, mid-major basketball, hard life, expensive where he lives. Get a little clock reset and go over. Like, that's a working. Okay, so give me the working rumor for how it all settles out.
Four.
All these guys. Do you think Jimmy goes to Denver?
Oh, I got you. What I think happens is, yeah, I think Jimmy ends up in Denver or New England, whichever one of those two teams misses out on the trade up with the Falcons. So I think Denver's sniffing around, and I think New England's sniffing around. Whatever Atlanta feels comfortable doing with the trade back, whoever makes the best deal, then they get the Jimmy sweepstakes, the other team. Because Denver, I think, clearly... You know, the new GM from Minnesota, George Patton, I don't think he's sold on Drew Lock. And at worst, you just get Drew Lock and Jimmy and you get the best guy plays. And New England, that's an easy transition. New England, to me, Trey Lance would make some sense, but it's a little bit of a project. And Bill, like, is Bill trying to have a project on his hands? Now, it does feel, you know, this never happens. I guess it happens every once in a while in college basketball. In college football, it seems like they're never able to pull it off. I guess Lincoln Riley did, but like the coach in waiting with Josh, maybe Josh is pushing to like have some developmental quarterback, but it's a little complicated because I think Bill wants to win right now. I think ideally Denver would get Lance right and think big picture. Well, New England ends up with Jimmy and just tries to win with the combo of Jimmy / Cam. And Cam is kind of like turns into a Taysom Hill type role, right? They don't ask him to do what he did last year.
Okay, so that would leave Washington without a quarterback, right?
Or but they kind of have their little group. I mean, yeah, they don't have a young quarterback, but they got the Heinicke, Fitz. They kind of got screwed just in the fact that once you make the playoffs, despite having a crappy record, you just end up drafting with the playoff teams, right? To me, if they were at like 13, 14, I think they would have been enough. Like it would have been Washington, Denver, and New England, probably all also at the Justin. You know, they would have been an extra team involved in this whole thing. But they're just too far away.
Yep. And cost too much to move up. No question. Great stuff, John. Have a great weekend. Look forward to the next pod. It's called Three and Out on the Herd Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us.
See you, Doug.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
This is the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Get ready for the fight of a lifetime with Triller Fight Club. Ben Askren, a former Bellator one champion champ, came out of retirement to fight a YouTuber in a card stack with amazing fights live from Atlanta, April 17th on pay-per-view. That's TrillerFightClub.com. Let's get to a game.
Game time!
This is game time.
It's game time.
On the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Dan Byer, what's the game?
Doug, the game is...
Psychic.
All right, psychic. Will Dwayne Wade make an impact as a partial owner of the Utah Jazz? What does your crystal ball show?
No. I threw in a little bit of money. Face of the franchise. No, I don't. He's not doing it. Utah Jazz are already in first place. What's he going to do?
He's courtside right now at this game against the Pacers. Yeah. Jazz, by the way, down 17 in this game in the second quarter.
The kiss of death. Dwayne, they were great. Then Dwayne Wade came. Now they suck.
Yeah. Psychic. Who do you see having the best record in the East at the end of the regular season? Right now, the Sixers are a game up on Brooklyn and three up on Milwaukee.
I see it being the Brooklyn Nets. The problem is back-to-backs are always sitting somebody. But I think the Brooklyn Nets are a little bit motivated to get the number one seed.
I know it's difficult to tell without knowing who's going to pick where, psychic, but where do you see Evan Mobley being selected in this summer's NBA draft, as he declared today?
Third pick of the draft.
All right.
Third pick.
Behind
third
what, pick. Suggs and Cunningham, is that?
Yeah.
All right, speaking of draft, NFL style, will the Atlanta Falcons move on from the fourth overall pick in the draft?
I think they will. I think that somebody will find value. I think we're going to go quarterback. First four picks are quarterback.
All right, psychic. William Hill releasing new win totals in the NFL now that we have a 17-game schedule. Will the Chiefs top their over-under win total of 12 in the upcoming season?
I don't think they will. I think that's an incredibly competitive division. I don't think 12 wins wins it.
All right, let's go to the bottom half. Will the, kind of the bottom half, with the 17-game schedule in the NFL, will we see another winless team like the Lions and Browns?
No. It's hard enough to lose 16 games, let alone 17.
Yeah, you know? I know. That extra one. It's psychic, finally. Who gets the best of who in the Dodgers-Padres three-game series that begins this weekend? Dodgers set up their staff to have their aces throw, and Fernando Tatis returns for San Diego. Who gets the best of who?
I think it's the Dodgers. I think the Dodgers, they've been kicking everybody's tail. They obviously have some issues in the bullpen, but they've been, for the most part, dominating baseball. This is important to them. They need to have a little bit of a series that matters. I think the Dodgers get the best of the Padres.
That's game, huh?
Game time.
This is game time on the Doug Gottlieb Show.
All right, coming up next, Justin Fields to the Niners is picking up steam. I'll tell you if I buy it or sell it. That's upcoming next on the Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.